The Rambam writes in his introduction to the 10th parak of Sanhedrin that when Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Tzreida taught in Pirkei Avos that don't do mitzvos for the sake of the prize, even great rabbis couldn't handle that. They got up and walked out, and in your words, they said, let me search for another employer. So the Rambam says there are certain things that the human mind has a hard time dealing with. And so we speak in terms that the human mind can fathom, even though the truth is a little different. So that means there's a certain, call it duality, that goes on when we speak Torah. Let's start with an example, okay? You have a child, you ask him to clean up his room. He cleans up his room. If you're a good parent, you walk in and you say, wow, you did such a great job, that's wonderful, excellent, I'm going to reward you. You put the child to bed, and then you start cleaning up the room for real. Did he really help you? No. But did he try to help you? Yes. So how do you reply? How do you respond? You give him the feeling, hey, you did great. And that's what's fair, and that's what's right, because he did the best he could. So you gave the mashal of a person who comes to his employer, and the employer says, you did exactly what I asked you for, and I don't need any of that. Why don't we look at it the other way? The employer is saying, that was great. What does it say? V'hoyo im shamoa tishme'u el mitzvosai asher anochi mitzaveh eschem. If you do what I told you, here's what I'm going to give you. Wow, I'm going to give you bounty and health and everything you can imagine. So the fact that on some level we can conceptualize, we can understand that he doesn't need it, that shouldn't preclude our capacity to accept his positive response. Let's work differently. You go to a training session. You're training in the army, okay? So they put you in front of a target, and they tell you, shoot. So you start shooting, and you finally hit the bullseye, and the guy says, that was great. You're happy. Why? Wait a second. He didn't need me to hit the bullseye. He didn't gain anything from my hitting the bullseye. Is it because he told me I was great? No. Let's take another example. You go to a training seminar, what?
What do you mean he doesn't gain anything by
you? You gain.
His whole point is that the boss didn't gain anything from any of your work. So if God doesn't gain anything from any of my work, why should I continue working? Why
should the trainer in the army?
He doesn't gain anything from my hitting the bullseye. I'm not going to see him again. Let's take another example.
But doesn't that show he's a good trainer if his students are hitting the mark?
Okay, fine, maybe. So let's take another example. Your work sends you to a training seminar. You know you're going to be with these people for 1 week. And as you train, your boss comes in and sees you training and says, great job. So one person is going to say, great. My boss is happy. I'm doing good. I'm happy. What's the next guy going to say? He's so happy I can make him more money. I'm going to be a good worker. How that bum? Is either one right or wrong? They're both right. When we say that Hashem doesn't need our mitzvot, so we have to understand what we mean is, on some high, pure level, we understand that He's not lacking. So let's go back to the scenario of the child and the parent. I didn't need you to clean up that room, right? So I can be a child and I can understand they didn't need it, right? But let's go to step two. God comes down and says, I want you to do A, B, and C. Now, I understand he's not lacking anything, because he could have it all done without me, right? So we're going to see in the Magen Midubna, then why did he give them to me? And we started discussing the idea of mitzvah stemming from the word tzavta, of the idea of connection and the mitzvos being a capacity to connect with Hashem. Meaning sometimes you think, I'm doing him a favor. Comes the Magen Midubna and says, no, you're not. You know you're not doing him a favor. So then what am I doing? Maybe I'm doing me a favor. And maybe he, as a good parent, is not coming with that attitude. He's saying, I'm going to reward you and I'm going to treat it as though you did me a favor.
Even though I have no need of it.
Even though, on a true level, I don't need it, but that doesn't matter. I created you.
Okay, so
wait, there's much more to be said. Meaning where you could develop this much, much, much more. Meaning this could be a whole series. So I want to give just a few points to think about. The Kabbalists like to say that Hashem created the world in a way where the human being can affect spirituality, can affect things up above. The Nefesh HaChaim says, your thought, when you think positive things, so then you're doing things in the temple up above that are far greater than you could do if you actually went and brought a sacrifice. Because your thought is the greatest, has the greatest capacity to impact, to affect. And so when you think correctly, so then your thoughts of mitzvos and proper thought are advancing the whole world, the spiritual world. There is, one can adopt an approach that says, we were put in this world to affect, we were put in this world to impact, and on a spiritual level, like the Kabbalists say, I impact. Step two, one can say, so we said one approach. Approach two, a person can say, I don't understand. I know he doesn't need me. But then again, I don't understand why he created a world. I don't know why he created me. So I have this big question mark, which we once discussed as the first definition of God. It's a question mark, it's an undefined, I don't know why he created me, and I don't know why he created the world. So what do I know? I know he told me he wants A, B, C, and D. So you'll ask me, does he need it? I can't say he needs it, but he did tell me to do it. So now at the end of the day, I have to do it, and he tells me if I do it, he's happy with me. How could he be happy with me? What does he care? He didn't need it. Ah, but he tells me, he said it, you know. And if you want, you could develop that one more notch. And you could say, why did he create me? Before you're asking why am I here altogether? So that I don't really have an answer to that. The answer I have is what he's told me. He said, accomplish. And this is what's called accomplishing. So it's not that at the end of the day he says, I didn't need that. It's that on some level I understand he didn't need it because he couldn't be lacking. But on the other level, he did create me. He did make a change. There was a naught, and then there was a creation. So there is something he wants here. However, we'll define that word wants, which again is not to be understood literally. So you want me to get to the umpteenth understanding infinitesimally that I'll be able to understand why? I don't know. But what I do know is the perspective I was given. And if he gave me a perspective that says, do, this is what I want, this is what's important for me, this is called accomplishing in this world, so then that's like a worker that the guy next to him in the stall says, what do you think they need all this for? What are we doing at the end of the day? And he says, I don't know, but this is what they told me to do, so this is what I'm doing.
So when you just said it was important to him, but not that he needs it, it's a differentiation. He doesn't need it, but it's important to him that we do it.
I would say that the accurate way to say it is, I can't say he needs it, but I can say he wanted me to have a perspective that he needs it.
As we said before, we're doing it, and there's a sense that some people do it that Hashem says, if you do so and so, I will reward you in this and this way. But there's a larger need than that in man. There's a need for purpose.
Oh.
And so if you're in a prison and you're pushing this wheel round and round and round for 30 years, you think you're creating something on the outside, water, flower, and you go outside and it's attached to nothing. It's devastating. So that's my...
Oh, so that's... So you could look at it as the Kabbalist. Mm-hmm. You could look at it as stage 2. You could look at it as stage 3. Stage 3 and 4 are two different sides of the same coin, and that is that Hashem gave us what we began discussing, a capacity to connect to Him, which means to become more like Him, which means to grow, or in the words of the Rambam in Igeret Teiman, to live the best possible life on earth by giving us the mitzvot. Hashem says, here's the way of life. Before we talk about what I'll give you for it in the world to come, right here, you want to know what's your best life? This is it. So that's one, which we developed it. We said, connect to Hashem, become like Hashem, live the best possible life on this earth, which can be divided, really, each of those points. And then we go to the other side of the coin, which helps answer another totally separate philosophical question. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, it says, he deserved to suffer, right? He was walking in the market, and a calf ran under his coat, and he said, what you're running away from the butcher for? This is what you were created for. Gave the calf back to the butcher, and in heaven they held it against him. So they gave him stomach pain and teeth pain, and he's suffering. Oh, is he suffering? It says he'd cry so badly every time he went to the bathroom that they'd hear him from miles away. So he has serious stomach pains. The Medrash says, maybe it's also in the Gemara. The Gemara tells the story. I don't remember if the Gemara adds this point. At this point, it definitely says in the Medrash Rabbah that all the years that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi suffered, a woman didn't miscarry throughout Israel. So I always like telling this story because we don't understand exactly why there has to be pain in the world. We don't. We can say all kinds of answers, and to a degree they answer, but at some level we still have a question. There's an element that we don't understand how God runs the world. We could give a lot of answers, but after all the answers, the Mishnah says, "Ein biyadenu." We don't have a handle on lo mishalvat harsha'im v'af lo miyisurei tzadikim. One opinion in the Mishnah of Pirkei Avos says, we don't have a complete handle on why is it that righteous people suffer. But it's important to see that there's a purpose.
I have a question.
In a minute, I would add, Miriam tells her father, remember, out in Egypt, Pharaoh decrees to throw the boys into the Nile. Amram, the head of the Jewish people, says, what's the point? Divorces his wife, makes a decree, everyone divorces their wives. Along comes child Miriam and tells her father, your decree is worse than Pharaoh's decree. Why? Because you're decreeing on the boys and the girls, and you're decreeing in this world and the world to come, and Pharaoh's only decreeing on this world. What does that mean? That means that if a woman has a child, and that child passes away 2 days later, that child comes to the world to come. But if she never had the child, he doesn't come to the world to come. So we see there's an aspect where our actions, when we act correctly, can affect positively long beyond the moment. They can affect someone way out there. They can affect, be it like Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, all of the people of Israel. Or they can affect even that person, even though I don't see the good products of my doing a good deed. I don't see the product. Miriam tells her father, they'll throw the boys into the Nile, but there's a future after that. And she's right. So the Torah gave us mitzvos, which is the fourth aspect, where we affect one another, we affect the world, and that's part of our job, of being a goy kadosh, it's to affect the world. Mamlechet Kohanim v'goy kadosh, it's an impact on the world, to move the world forward. It's also an impact on one another. So that's the opposite side of the coin from the Rambam and Igeret Teiman. The Rambam discusses how I benefit from it. Here we're discussing how the world benefits from it. But it all goes back to the second point we made, which is there's our perspective, and then there's a level of truth which we can conceptualize. But like the Rambam said, the Rambam we began with in the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin, we can't live our daily lives with that, which is what you began with. You can't live with the thought, he doesn't need any of this. So a lot of hashkafa is developing what attitude did Hashem want us to have. Even though on some level I know there's got to be more to be said, which I haven't answered. But that doesn't change the fact that that's the perspective he wanted us to have. Yeah?